had come to Jesus to find fault with him. And they were pleased with their apparent success in catching Jesus and his disciples in doing something that they considered to be wrong. But before we point a self-righteous finger at those Pharisees and scribes as religious hypocrites, we need to examine our own cleanliness in God's eyes. Do we always come to God for the right reasons? Or like those Pharisees and experts in the law, do we sometimes come to God instead in order to find fault? When we come to worship God in church, do we look for opportunity to be offended by a fellow member in church or perhaps by a visitor? Do we scrutinize the service, the songs, the sermon, in order to find something about which we might object? Do we look for distractions to justify our lack of focus and attention during the service? I know that I personally have done all those things. All too often we are just like those Pharisees and experts in the law. We come to God in order to find fault with God or with God's people. But there's another way. Cleanliness in God's eyes means, first of all, coming to him for the right reasons. Ironically, just prior to this reading in Mark chapter 7, where these people are coming to Jesus to find fault with him and with his disciples, Mark the evangelist tells of many people who came to Jesus for the right reason. At the end of Mark chapter 6, we read, "They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard that he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed." Many people were coming to Jesus for the right reason, to find help and comfort. And it was not just physical help and comfort that they sought, but more importantly, spiritual help. That's why Jesus offers the greatest help to that paralyzed man that we read about in Mark chapter 2, when Jesus says to him, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But then only later does Jesus heal the man and command him, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." If we want to be clean in God's eyes, we must also come to God for the right reason, seeking his help and salvation. It's really strange, isn't it, how we can carry around a problem, something that's weighing on our hearts and minds for days, somehow forgetting that God is always right there, always just willing and waiting to help us, waiting for us to call on him and ask for his help. And as we come asking God for his help, God promises to answer us, to hear our prayers, and to answer them for our good, for Jesus' sake. The psalm writer proclaims in Psalm chapter 10, "O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them, and you listen to their cry." But unfortunately, just as some people came to Jesus for the wrong reasons, people can also listen to the wrong source. We see an example of that in the gospel reading. Those Pharisees and experts in the law said, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders? Instead, they eat bread with unclean hands." These Jews really wanted to be pure in God's eyes, but they were listening to the wrong source for how to obtain that purity. They were listening to the traditions established by mere human beings. Many Jewish people at that time thought that their heritage would make them pure or worthy in God's sight. They looked down their noses at all the non-Jewish people as being impure. They had even developed a self-righteous attitude into a formal set of rules and traditions. As Mark notes in our text, "The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they scrub their hands with a fist, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions they adhere to, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, kettles, and dining couches. Whatever was touched by a Gentile, whether it's their clothing, food, furniture, or anything bought in the marketplace, had to be washed, they said, according to a special ritual that they mandated. Otherwise, they believed that a person could become defiled in God's sight. Now, this concern developed into a complicated, man-made, stipulated procedure for washing almost everything, as we just saw in that list of things that were mentioned, lest they themselves could become ceremonially unclean by coming into contact with that object that they believed to be unclean. Now, although that kind of man-made tradition and those regulations sounds pretty strange to us today, we can also be guilty of something similar. That tradition of ritual washing was basically saying Jews are better, cleaner, purer than non-Jews, Gentiles. Stay away from those poor, wretched sinners. We can often see that same attitude of superiority within the walls of Christian churches today. Jesus also speaks to us, therefore, when he says, "You abandon God's commandment, but hold to human tradition." Yes, we can sometimes be a bit uncomfortable with having so-called sinners in our midst. After hearing something bad about someone else, Christians too often would rather gossip about that person or ostracize them, rather than dealing with them graciously and mercifully as our God has dealt with us. The truth is that anyone who listens to all that gossip about that other poor, filthy sinner is also committing a sin in their hearts and in the eyes of God. Cleanliness in God's eyes includes listening to the right source, listening to God's own word in the Bible. There we read about our true condition in God's eyes. In Isaiah chapter 64, God tells us, "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags." Our tendency to find fault with others and to look down on others in itself reflects the fact that we have become impure and defiled before God. In that state, our future is bleak. God pictures us as unclean souls marching to the grave, a pathetic procession passing into the eternal pit of destruction and suffering. However, we cannot stop our reading of God's word with only that fearful message. Cleanliness in God's eyes means not only listening to the right source, God's word, but also listening to its entire message. Mark records Jesus' words as the theme of the Gospel of Mark in chapter 10, when Jesus says, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus did not come to be served, to be made clean in God's eyes. Jesus was already pure because he is true God, and he lived his whole life without breaking any of God's commands, without committing any sin, not even in his thoughts. Instead, Jesus came to serve and to give his own life as a ransom for many. Paraphrasing this in our modern context, we might say that Jesus came to pay the bill that was necessary to wash us and to make us clean in God's eyes. Now, the price that was required to pay for our cleanliness was quite high. The price that God demanded was death, lifeblood shed to pay for sin. The good news for us is that Jesus Christ has paid the price for you and for me and for all people by his own death on the cross. With his holy, precious blood that he shed for us there, he washes away that stain of sin from our souls. And so now we can live in purity and in cleanliness in God's eyes. The good news is that Jesus has been raised from the dead. He died so that we will not die in the filthiness of our sin and be punished eternally for it. But he rose from the dead to prove to us that we are clean now in God's eyes, and we will continue to live in purity with God forever in heaven. Now, how did those people that we read about in Mark chapter 7 respond to this word of God? Well, Jesus had an unpleasant judgment to make on a number of them. He said, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Jesus condemned them for giving mere lip service without trusting God with their whole hearts. Jesus said, "They worship me in vain, teaching human rules as if they were doctrines." Although they had heard the word of God, that Jesus had come to wash away their sins and to make them spiritually clean in God's sight, yet they rejected that message of God's love and mercy. And instead, they responded to this word of God with legalistic actions, still trying to make themselves outwardly clean apart from Christ and his saving work. They resorted to man-made rules and regulations regarding external things about their outward appearance and actions, but they ignored the internal spiritual things, which God says are the most important in his sight. They abstained from certain foods and beverages, and what they did eat, they washed very thoroughly to try to follow these regulations they made, but they were responding to God only with external actions and not from their hearts. Today, Jesus would say to us, "Everyone, listen to me and understand. There is nothing outside of a man that can make him unclean by going into him, but the things that come out of a man are what make a man unclean." We are not unclean in God's sight because of what we eat or what we drink, and we cannot be made pure in God's sight based on what we eat or drink, or based on even what we say or do. Jesus says, the things that come out of a man are what make a man unclean. In fact, from within, out of people's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual sins, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, unrestrained immorality, envy, slander, arrogance, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and make a person unclean. Jesus is telling us that our heart is the heart of the matter. As goes the heart, so goes the cleanliness. Purity in God's eyes, therefore, must involve a heart that trusts in Jesus as the Savior. Cleanliness before God means clinging to the promises that God has made to us in his word with our whole heart. Those promises stand firm to eternity. Jesus has suffered death to wash away the stain of sin from our souls. Jesus has risen from the dead so that we can live with God in purity forever. Jesus has cleansed us so that we can listen to the right source for truth and for guidance in our lives, not listening to the stuck-up traditions and regulations of people, but to the good news of God himself. God has cleansed us so that we might come to him for the right reasons, not in order to find fault with other people, but in order to find help and salvation for ourselves and for others. God has cleansed us so that we might respond not with legalism of outward actions and words, but with a trusting heart. God has cleansed us. He has forgiven all of our sins, so that we might live with him as our Savior forever in heaven. So let's cling to the purity that we have in Jesus our Savior by God's grace. As God says through his prophet Isaiah, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool." Amen.